This is Akashvani, a review of today's Parliament proceedings read by Shagun Chopra, first from the Lok Sabha. Writer is Achint Bora of PTI. Prime Minister Narendra Modi today stressed that dialogue and diplomacy remain the only path to resolution of the ongoing West Asia conflict. He asserted the disruption of the key shipping route, the Strait of Hormuz, through which 20% of world's energy supply passes, is unacceptable. Making a Suomoto statement in Lok Sabha, Modi said that the difficult global conditions caused by the West Asia conflict are likely to persist for a long time. He called upon the nation to remain prepared and united, just as it had stood together during the COVID-19 pandemic. Reaffirming India's unwavering commitment to humanity and peace, the Prime Minister said dialogue and diplomacy remain the only path to peace. On India's diplomatic response to the West Asia conflict, the Prime Minister said India's stand has been clear from the very beginning when the US and Israel attacked Iran and the latter retaliated by targeting its Gulf neighbours and Israel. India expresses deep concern, advocates de-escalation and opposes attacks on civilians and on energy and transport infrastructure, the Prime Minister said. Informing the House that he has engaged with all relevant West Asian leaders and urged them to reduce tensions and end the conflict, Modi stressed that attacks on commercial ships and obstruction of international waterways like the Strait of Hormuz are wholly unacceptable. India, through diplomacy, is making continuous efforts for the safe passage of Indian ships even amidst the war environment. Due to such efforts, several of our ships that were struck in the Strait of Hormuz have arrived in India in recent days, he said. The Prime Minister also drew attention of the House to the internal security dimension of the crisis, warning that certain elements try to exploit such situations. He said all security agencies have been placed on alert and that security across all domains is being further strengthened. Whether it is coastal security, border security, cybersecurity or strategic installations, the security of all is being reinforced, he said, urging patience, restraint and vigilance and cautioning against those who may seek to exploit the situation by spreading falsehoods, engaging in black marketing or hoarding. Modi appealed all state governments to ensure strict monitoring and swift action against such elements. Expressing his abiding faith in the collective resolve of the nation, the Prime Minister said, when every government and every citizen of this country walk together, we can challenge every challenge. This is our identity and this is our strength, he said. The Prime Minister said, the crisis has been going on now for more than 3 weeks and it is having a very adverse impact on the global economy and on people's lives. The entire world is urging all parties for the earliest resolution of this crisis, he said. This region is important to India for yet another reason, as nearly 1 crore Indians live and work in the Gulf countries, and among the commercial ships that sail in these seas, the number of Indian crew members is also very high, he said. India's concerns are naturally greater, and therefore it is essential that a united and unanimous voice goes out to the world from India's parliament on this crisis, he said. Modi underscored how the energy diversification strategy pursued over the past decade has proven its worth in the current crisis. He informed the House that India has expanded its energy import sources from 27 countries to 41 countries over the past 11 years, thereby reducing dependence on any single region. Emphasizing the foresight of this approach, Modi said, in today's circumstances, the steps taken over the past decade regarding energy security have become even more relevant. The Prime Minister said, India has more than 5.3 million metric tons of strategic petroleum reserves and the country is also working on arrangements for more than 6.5 MMT of additional storage. Apart from this, he said there are reserves held by the domestic oil companies. In the last 11 years, our refining capacity has increased significantly and the government is in constant touch with suppliers from different countries. The effort is to ensure that oil and gas supplies continue from wherever possible, he said. Highlighting the scale of the evacuation effort, the Prime Minister said more than 3,75,000 Indians have safely returned to India since the war began, including approximately 1,000 Indians from Iran alone. Addressing the broader economic ramifications, Modi acknowledged that energy is the backbone of the modern economy and that West Asia is a major source for global energy needs, making the current crisis a challenge for economies worldwide. He said the government is working with a comprehensive short-term, medium-term and long-term strategy supported by strong economic fundamentals, sector-specific stakeholder consultations and a dedicated interministerial group that meets daily to assess and resolve every difficulty in India's import-export chain. I am fully confident that through the joint efforts of the government and industry, we will be able to face these circumstances effectively, PM Modi said. The Prime Minister said, unfortunately, several lives were lost and some people were injured during the conflict and their families are being given the necessary help and treatment of the injured is being ensured. He said another question is the impact of the war on agriculture, but the good part is that the country's farmers have filled the food grain reserves, so India is well prepared in terms of food security. We are also making efforts to ensure that the Kharif sowing takes place properly. For this, the government has made adequate arrangements for fertilizers to deal with any emergency. In the past as well, our government did not let any global crisis impact our farmers, he said. Modi said that as the summer season has begun in India, electricity demand has increased, but all power plants in the country have adequate coal stock available. India has created a record by producing more than 1 billion tons of coal for the second consecutive year. In the last decade, the country has also taken major steps towards renewable energy, he said. The Lok Sabha meanwhile referred the Corporate Laws Amendment Bill 2026 to a joint parliamentary committee comprising members from both houses of parliament for a detailed analysis and recommendations. The decision was taken following a voice vote after Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman suggested it. Earlier, after the bill was introduced in Lok Sabha, opposition members Manish Tiwari, Congress, Saugata Roy, Trinamool Congress, and T. Sumathi, DMK, strongly opposed it, alleging that the legislation sought to dilute the provisions of law under which the companies mandatorily have to pay 2% of their profits towards corporate social responsibility or CSR. The finance minister strongly refuted the allegations and said that the bill has been introduced after 2 years of deliberations. She said the apprehensions of the members were unfounded, as the bill seeks to amend only the criteria of net profits, not the entire clause related to CSR. Sitharaman then suggested Speaker Om Birla that the bill be sent to a joint parliamentary committee for extensive deliberations and proper suggestions. At this, Tiwari said that since a parliamentary standing committee on corporate affairs is already in place, the bill should be sent to that panel rather than constituting a new joint parliamentary committee. Intervening, the Congress MP, Home Minister Amit Shah said that none of the opposition members talked about referring the legislation to a parliamentary committee, and now, when the Finance Minister herself has sought it, they are arguing as to which panel the bill should be sent. Speaker Birla then put the proposal of the Finance Minister to a vote, and it was approved with a voice vote by the House, sending the bill to a joint parliamentary committee for which the members will be selected later. The Corporate Laws Amendment Bill 2026 aims to amend the Limited Liability Partnership LLP Act 2008 and the Companies Act to facilitate ease of doing business and address the gaps identified by the Company Law Committee in its 2022 report. The Union Cabinet had already okayed the proposed bill aimed at further easing the compliance burden on businesses and advancing the government's agenda of decriminalizing minor corporate offenses. The proposed amendments are expected to rationalize penalties, shift several minor procedural lapses from criminal liability to monetary penalties, and streamline regulatory processes. The reforms also aim at improving the overall corporate compliance framework while reducing litigation and encouraging a more facilitative regulatory environment for companies and LLPs. Sitaraman also said the bill is aimed at promoting further ease of doing business and ease of living for corporates by decriminalizing more provisions and amending certain other provisions. It is aimed at providing ease of compliance for one-person companies, small companies, startups and producer companies, the minister said in the bill statement of objects and reasons. According to Sitaraman, the amendments also seek to streamline the existing regulatory practices to strengthen as well as recognize new concepts in the light of rapidly evolving corporate landscape and changing business practices. Union Home Minister Amit Shah today promised to immediately order a CBI inquiry into the alleged suicide of a state warehousing corporation official if all Punjab MPs give him a written request on the matter. The issue was raised in the Lok Sabha by Gurjeet Singh Aujla, Congress MP from Amritsar. The Union Home Minister, who was sitting in the House at the time, was about to leave when Aujla requested him to listen to what he had to say. Shah replied that if all Punjab MPs together give him a written request, he will immediately order a CBI inquiry into the case. Meanwhile, the House paid tributes to freedom fighters Bhagat Singh, Rajguru and Sukhdev, who were hanged to death by the British on this day in 1931. As a mark of respect for the departed souls, the Speaker and the members stood in silence for a brief while. And now a review of proceedings in the Rajya Sabha, writer is Sanjeev Chopra of PTI. The Rajya Sabha today started a discussion on the Appropriation Bill No. 2, 2026, with several members participating in it. The Business Advisory Committee has allocated 7 hours for a combined discussion on the Appropriation Bill No. 2, 2026, and Finance Bill as passed by Lok Sabha. The bill was introduced by Minister of State for Finance, Pankaj Chaudhary, for consideration and return to the Lok Sabha. The Lok Sabha had on Wednesday passed this bill that seeks to authorize payment and appropriation of certain sums from and out of the Consolidated Fund of India for the services of the financial year 2026-27. Starting the discussion, Congress member Neeraj Tangi said, "The government has failed to address the problems of rising unemployment, increasing food prices and declining rupee." He accused the centre of giving stepmotherly treatment to non-BJP-ruled states. Referring to the ongoing West Asia conflict, he said many hotels and restaurants are on the verge of closure while household budgets have risen and small businesses are facing losses even as black marketing of cylinders is taking place. He also pointed out that farmers are facing fertilizer shortages, which has forced the centre to increase fertilizer subsidies, highlighting how India is heavily dependent on fertilizer imports. Countering the Congress charges, BJP's Madan Rathore said, "The country is making rapid technological strides. India is ahead of everyone else in renewable energy, even as the Narendra Modi-led government has crushed Maoist terrorism," he asserted. Pointing to scams during earlier Congress-led governments, he said that today the opposition parties have a problem because middlemen are unable to benefit as corruption has ended in the current government. BJP MP Maya Narulia urged for a time-bound roadmap for national governance framework on artificial intelligence following India AI Impact Summit 2026. AAP member Raghav Chadha suggested that telecom companies should allow the carry forward of unused data into the next cycle so consumers can use what they have already paid for. Making a special mention, Neeraj Dangi urged the government to implement the land pooling policy on a mission mode basis and notify the Delhi Master Plan 2041 at the earliest. DMK MP P. Wilson raised concerns over the indicative tariff fixed for electricity from Kudankulam Nuclear Power Plant Unit 3 and 4, terming it a sharp rise over existing rates. That's all in Parliament Review.